Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Spanish Football Podcast, recorded slightly later than usual. It's also probably going to be a bit shorter than usual because selfish Sidney has got another job that he's got to do, and he's in Lisbon for Sporting Club against Tottenham in the Champions League tomorrow, and he's had to have go to a press conference. He's had an absolute nightmare getting there as well in terms of the plane being delayed and then having to wait ages to get off the aeroplane, all that kind of boring stuff, Sidney. So this, recording a podcast with me, it's going to be the highlight of your day, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It really is. I'm standing here holding a sign so that you can see it. It just says Sporting Clube do Portugal.
Yes, Sporting Clube do Portugal. Sid is hiding somewhere in the press conference room.
Literally in the translator's booth.
Okay, well that's good. Anyway, let's crack on with the Spanish football. Coming up this week for our patrons, by the way, we're going to have a Q&A pod out for patrons on Tuesday, in theory, answering
their
questions.
Yeah, that'll be fine, hopefully.
Okay. Bonus pod on Thursday, talking the Champions League games. Plus, this week sees the return of TSFP Presents, our series looking at the history and culture of Spanish football. We think we've got a fun idea for a new season, so watch this space. This is what happened on match day 5 in La Liga. Friday night saw Girona beat Valladolid 2-1. Then on Saturday, Rayo got their first home win of the season, beating Valencia 2-1. Sevilla got their first win of the season, winning 3-2 at Espanyol. Barca thrashed Cadiz 4-0. Atletico Madrid beat Celta Vigo 4-1, although the scoreline doesn't necessarily tell how close a game it was. Then on Sunday, Madrid beat Mallorca also 4-1. Although they had to come from behind. Athletic Club beat Elche also 4-1. 3-4-1s in one weekend. That's very unusual. Also unusual, Getafe winning. They did this weekend. They beat La Real by 2-1. Terrible news for La Real. Their record signing, Umar Sadiq, got a ligament injury in that game and he's out for the season. Absolute catastrophe for them. And Betis beat Villarreal by 1-0 at the Benny V in the game, which was billed as the meeting of the two sides' best poised to break into the top four this season. It was Betis who came out on top. I'm not entirely sure how, because Villarreal had numerous chances to score, which they did not take. Taking place as we currently record the podcast, Almeria against Osasuna. Lots of really interesting games this weekend. We could start almost anywhere. So let's start with the games that Sid was at on Sunday. You were at the Bernabeu, just about. You had a bit of a nightmare getting there as well, but you made it to see Real Madrid score 4 goals without Karim Benzema, which is pretty impressive, I'd say.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, the context of this is that 2 of those 4 goals are in the last 2 minutes, or theoretically the last 2 minutes. Although, of course, 89th minute doesn't mean anything now. It could be, you know, it's 89 is the old 79, isn't it? Basically, these days. And I actually thought that Mallorca held out really quite well for a lot of the game. Although, again, it was interesting post-match because he said, look, in a way, it was inevitable. You know, we had an approach which was to be defensive. It was very, very hot. We couldn't keep that going all game. And so it was inevitable that at some point they would get us. And even if it looks like we were holding them for a long time, it kind of was a question of time. Now, I think that's a sort of a post-match response rather than the way it may have necessarily felt to him, because I thought that Madrid were a little bit sluggish for quite a lot of the game, which I think is partly explained by the conditions and also by the condition of the pitch, which looked very dry. The ball wasn't really rolling very well. It seemed to be getting caught under people's feet. And Mallorca had a great chance after, what was it, 25 seconds. And yep. Then, of course, the goal from Marici, who'd also had the chance after 25 seconds, at least the first of the two, because it then rebounded to a teammate who I forget who it was now. And I didn't think Madrid were that great, but clearly were just too good, basically.
They did, and they had some big performers performing again. Vinicius scoring in his 5th consecutive game now, which is, you know, it's impressive, even though they're not necessarily the most challenging of opponents he's going to face all season. To score 5 games in a row is the kind of consistency that we demand from a top world-class player, which Vinicius has very much become.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I would say is that in this game, until the second half at least, I thought he was actually not very good. And maybe that's a step too far, but let me explain what I mean by that. I felt in the first half that maybe because of the awareness that Benzema wasn't there, it felt to me like at times he wasn't as natural. He was trying to do too much. There was a lot of stepovers. There was a lot of taking people on. It wasn't quite working for him. He was sort of leaving the ball behind on occasions. Again, come back to that question about the pitch. I think that might be part of it. Then, having said that, he then scores a really lovely goal. Mm. And you get this unbelievable goal from Fede Valverde to equalise. And then the next two, it was like they were competing to be as good as a Valverde goal. Those, the first, second and third goals from Madrid were all brilliant.
Mm. The Rodrigo goal is sensational.
It really
absolutely
is.
Absolutely
yeah.
sensational. He's got two goals and two assists already, Rodrigo. And Fede Valverde, who I guess in theory is his competition for the place on the right-hand side, Rodrigo. Valverde, he scored here. He got an assist against Celtic, another assist against Betis. He scored against Celta Vigo as well. So he's contributing as well. Really importantly, we've spoken about his sort of general all-round improvement over the last 18 months. He just looks a better footballer, and he's also been consistent as well. So Madrid getting the job done. It's 5 wins out of 5. They're the only side with a 100% record. And next up for them is the Madrid derby this weekend. So that's going to be an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the game he went to on the same day on the other side of the country. You managed to get down to Seville, to the Benny V, to see Betis beat Villarreal by a 2-0. Am I right in my assessment in saying that Villarreal really should have got something out of this game?
Absolutely right. What I was really struck by in the first half was Villarreal's ability to kind of play at two different speeds. So they build the ball out from the back, and they're, I suppose it's two different identities as much as two different speeds. They build the ball out, they maintain possession, they work it through the midfield. They're relatively cautious about it when they're around the edge of the other team's box. They keep possession, they wait for that little space to come. And that's version one. But then when they get the chance to rob and run, they're incredibly direct. Really, really quick. And when they get the chance to put that ball into the space, in particular at the weekend, it was Nicholas Jackson, but it's not just him. In the second half, obviously, we saw quite a lot of Samu Chukwuesi.
Lo Celso as well.
Lo Celso was dashing into space.
He had a run in the 96th minute. I was just like, how have you got that energy?
And then he played a 1-2, I think it was with Morales, who played a wonderful pass to him, and actually yes. he then made a bit of a mess of it in the area. But that was the thing that really struck me, is the willingness to kind of spin the ball in behind the defence. And in particular, that's one of the things that Gerard Moreno does really well, is that he'll come off the front and with his back to goal, will just play it first time almost on the spin enough that it's spinning behind him, if you see what I mean. So the ball kind of goes backwards and people go beyond him. And I thought, you know, they really, really should have got at least a couple in the first half. I missed 2 or 3 really good chances. A couple of them from mistakes from Betis, but partly through putting the pressure on and through seeing that moment where they could step in, make the robbery, and then get going really quickly. And yeah, they absolutely should have been at least 2-0 up at half time.
They really should have, but they weren't. And Betis scored in the second half through Rodri, a lovely ball in from Luis Enrique to give them all 3 points, and they're third currently at the time of recording. So, you know, even though we had our doubts about whether they can sustain this, and it's only match day 5, so we're not getting carried away, but Betis are there for the time being.
They're top of the other league, aren't they? I mean, they really are. And I genuinely think you might be able to divide it into Madrid, Barcelona and the rest this season. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. But I fear that might be the case.
Quick word on the other big result on Sunday, that 4-1 win for Athletic at Elche. For a side who struggled to score goals, they're scoring a lot of goals away from home, Athletic Club, because it's the second game in a row on the road they've scored 4. They thrashed Cadiz 4-0 previously, and now they scored 4 goals in the first half against Elche, albeit, you know, playing as Elche and Cadiz, probably the two worst sides in the division at the moment. Nico Williams scored the 3rd goal, I think it is. It is an absolutely extraordinarily good goal. His first goal in La Liga as well. And Athletic will be hoping it's the first of many, because they could do with someone who could consistently score.
Yeah. And he's, you know, we've talked about him before in terms of the differences between him and his brother. He's technically, I think, a bit better than his brother. Not quite as quick, not quite as direct. And this was a lovely goal. In off the right-hand side on his right foot, put it onto his left and then walloped into the top corner. He's going to be really important, I think you're right. I think there's a bit more variety about them away. Maybe it's because of the way that you can play a little bit more on the break. You don't need to be as kind of technically creative around the area. But I think you're also right to put this in the context of the two teams they played. Mm-hmm. Because Elche were... Just the lack of intensity about them was extraordinary the weekend. Mm-hmm. It almost... I mean, the fans were chanting at them, "You're still on your holidays." Mm-hmm. And it sort of did look a little bit like that. And I was obviously... we spoke about it at the time. I was at the Cadiz game and I thought that Cadiz were dreadful, but it is true that I also thought that Athletic were very good indeed.
On to what happened on Saturday, and And Barcelona's 4-0 win at Cadiz was, again, that was very much overshadowed by what happened in the stands. There was a medical emergency, which meant the game was actually paused for an hour. In the 81st minute, Barcelona were 2-0 up, and then something happened in the stands. A fan was taken very, very seriously ill. We thought we might be witnessing a tragedy. Thankfully, that didn't happen, and the fan managed to be taken to hospital and be stabilised. But it did really overshadow what happened on the pitch. Ultimately, what did happen on the pitch is that Barcelona, they went 1-0 up, and then they made this triple substitution anyway, even though they were 1-0 up, and they brought on Robert Lewandowski, Dembele and Pedri, and they went on to score another goal. And Lewandowski scored again. He's La Liga's top scorer now. He's on to 6 goals. He's going to get into... All right, he's not going to get into triple figures, but he's going to score a lot of goals this season, as we've said already, and Dembele continues to be very, very dangerous. So, I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about this Barca game, but you chose to write about what happened in the stands today.
Yeah, I think just really because of the sense that I think one of the things that happens in these kind of moments, and I think on one level there is a risk of making it too big, but I think in part it was because sometimes when things like this happen, we fall back on the cliche about how this puts it all into perspective. But actually, in a way, it does, but not the way that people think it does. Because actually, what it does, I think, is reinforce how important football is. That, you know, the game does go on, and actually, the collective experience of it is sort of what makes it more significant. And actually, the fact that there are people there responding was what made this more than just someone get ill. You know, the response from players, the response from club doctors, the response from a fan who happens to be a nurse who's on the spot and gets there in time. And so, I think this was kind of a story not so much about the illness itself, but if you like, about the kind of the collective power of, maybe not power is not quite the right word, because then I'm falling into cliche myself, but you know what I mean, that sort of sense of community. And that was actually summed up for me in a quote from one of the doctors who was there, who said if this had happened to him at home, he would not have been revived. He effectively survived because of football. So rather than putting football into context or putting it into perspective in the sense of saying, well, football doesn't matter, actually it sort of demonstrates that you're better off at a football game. And I know that sounds a bit glib of me to say it like that and almost with a kind of a tone of amusement, but I think there is an element of that, that there is something about, I don't really know how to properly explain it, which is a stupid thing to say considering I've just been writing about it. But it felt kind of significant because of that. But as you say, the game itself, this particular game when they came back, did feel like it didn't matter. Cadiz were already 2-0 down, they conceded 2 more. Ansu Fati, you know, sort of held up his hand as an apology when he scored. And those last 2 goals didn't matter.
Yeah, they didn't. But they did mean that Barcelona have the best goal difference in the division. It's plus 14. They've scored 15. They've only conceded 1 goal in these 5 games. That's something to watch out for.
And bear in mind that run of games includes Real Sociedad and Sevilla away.
Yeah.
Now, I know that we haven't been impressed with Sevilla. They've had a difficult start. But those are still 2 of the away games that, in theory, you don't get 3 points from.
And they have. Atletico Madrid beating Celta Vigo 4-1. Atletico Madrid scored 4 goals from an expected goals of just 0.7. which is, kind of tells the story of this game, because Celta had chances, man. They had chances, which they did not take. And Atletico Madrid, again, not that convincing for a large amount of this game. But Carrasco scored an absolutely lovely goal, and they got their first win at home. And I guess it might quell a few dissenting voices. But it's just not very convincing.
No, it's not. I mean, it sets it up nicely, I suppose, for the Madrid derby next weekend. And, of course, that's the game that will help to define what fans feel about the team and how good they think it is. You mentioned the Carrasco goal, which was really, really good. I don't know about you, though, but I really liked the first goal. I thought the team move for the first goal.
Oh, yeah.
So about four first-time passes in a row for Correa to finish, I thought was a really, really lovely goal. Obviously, we saw Griezmann come on in the 63rd minute, this time not score. But I agree with you. I still look at this Atletico team and think, there's clearly a lot of good players in there. There are moments when you see things that you think, okay, this team can be all right. But you don't look at them and think, yeah, Atletico are a proper good team. Not yet, at least.
It was the first start this season for Correa. João Félix had been starting alongside Álvaro Morata. Ángel Correa is one of the most, I don't know, I was going to say unlucky players in La Liga, but his role is just to sort of be there and do whatever Simeone asks of him at any given moment, and he seems to be content with that.
Yeah, you get a feeling, don't you? Because, I mean, partly it's Simeone playing man management, but I think part of it is genuine as well. He always talks very, very, very fondly of Correa. And I think he's one of those players that Simeone is prepared to express publicly the idea that it might be unfair on him that he doesn't play more. But I also think there is a sort of a strange logic in it. And I suppose he is one of those players, and there must be others like him, but I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head and I can't. Possibly Lucas Vazquez for a while in the Madrid team. That, you know, there can be other players around him not playing as well as him. But he can come on, he can be consistent, he can always deliver for you. But the bottom line is that when you come to it and you go, okay, who are my best players? Correa's probably not in it. And yet he gives you, as the word that Simeone uses, and I suppose it doesn't make as much sense in English, but it works in Spanish, gives you electricity, which the other forwards don't really give.
Hmm. A word about Sevilla as well and their first win of the season, finally after their joint worst ever start to a campaign, beating Espanyol by 3-2. And an incredible performance from academy product José Ángel Carmona, who scored 2 goals and provided an assist as well. He's a defender.
Yeah.
And he might have just saved Julen Lopetegui's job.
I think he has, certainly in the short term. Mm. Obviously, let's see how this develops from here. I really quite liked what Lopetegui said after the game. He said, once again, when it all looked good, we very nearly let it go. Because they had done in previous games. Remember, you were talking a couple of weeks about how that phrase about having a glass jaw. Yep. And they nearly did it again. 3-0 up, it gets to 3-2 with a long time left in the game. You know, it wouldn't have taken a dramatic equaliser. I think Espanyol had nearly 30 minutes to score again.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, but then we held on. And we, to use that Spanishism, we knew how to suffer, or we were able to suffer. And he said, and that is intrinsic to success. Now, I know that's the kind of thing that a manager says after a game like this, but he's right. Mm. And that vulnerability of Sevilla is a real problem. And the fact they got away with it this time, I would like to think that would help them. Or it might just demonstrate that they've still got it.
In terms of the team selection from Julen Lopetegui, it was quite eye-catching because Carmona was in the starting 11. I guess he was vindicated because he played this 20-year-old who hasn't played much and he scored 2 goals, but he was in the starting 11. Kike Salas was in the starting 11, who had not started a La Liga match before for Sevilla. And on the bench was summer signing Tiangui Nianzou. There was also Rekic. Navas was on the bench. Montiel was on the bench as well. So other players that really could have started this game but didn't, and he went with the kids. I don't know if he was thinking, whatever, you know, I'll just go for it. If you're going to sack me, I'm going to go out with the kids. But it just about managed to pay off.
You always wonder that, don't you, when a manager makes those kind of decisions, whether he's in part sending a message, whether he's in part effectively saying to the sporting director, well, this is what I've got.
Yeah.
Right, you want me to play this? Yeah. But then, of course, the answer is yes, and you win.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that I suppose what you could say is the manager's got nothing to lose, because if he wins, great, and if he loses, he says, well, I lost with what you gave me. Mm. The absence of Nianzou was, I think, a bit of a surprise, not least because he's basically the only centre-back they had,
yes,
in terms of the ones that hadn't come from the youth system. I don't think Carmona playing was a huge surprise, because I'd actually quite liked him against City, despite everything. And I think that changes things, and that enables, I think, Lopetegui to send a message to some of the players in terms of kind of commitment and so on. Because which of the goals is it? One of the goals is him basically sprinting round the back of an Espanyol player and catching them out.
Yes.
And he's really alive and really alert.
Cabrera.
Was it? Right. I was trying to remember which player it was. Right. Thank you, Cabrera. And I think that's important. Mm. Because I think that is about, you know, kind of reinforcing to players that there is something really basic, which is how intensely you play, how alert you are, how aggressive you are. And you know, even if you're a kid, if you've got that, then there are other players, quite frankly, at the moment, who don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. All right, this is what happened in the Segunda División. Las Palmas are top after they beat Leganés 1-0 on Friday night. Alavesa level with them on 11 points. They won 2-1 at Lugo. And Levante beat Villarreal B 4-1. Oviedo drew 0-0 at Burgos. but apparently it was a decent game, but there were no goals there. Loads of Spanish teams in action in Europe this week. We've got
Atletico Madrid in Germany to take on Bayer Leverkusen as well on Tuesday night. Perhaps more interesting will be the game at the Allianz Arena between Bayern Munich and Barcelona. Absolutely blockbuster. Then on Wednesday night, we've got Real Madrid against RB Leipzig. And Sevilla are in Denmark to take on FC Copenhagen. Then on Thursday, we've got Real Betis against Ludogorets. And Real Sociedad welcoming the mighty Omonia Nicosia to San Sebastian in what is going to be a huge game. A huge game. Sorry, I'm just being silly because my dad's from Cyprus and Omonia are not a huge club.
Have you managed to persuade him to come out for the game?
He does not support Omonia.
Persuade him to come anyway.
he's an Apoel man, and he went and saw them play against Real Madrid. So that was one of the most unexpected things that has ever happened. So there we go. We didn't mention Sydney. Very remiss of us. We sort of forget that the Conference League exists, but Villarreal are playing it, and they're playing Hapoel Beer Sheva in Israel.
Well,
on Thursday
they won
well.
4-3 last week, so we've been saying how they hadn't conceded in La Liga until this weekend against Betis.
Yes.
But they did concede 3 in one game in midweek in the Conference League.
Against Lech Poznan. Before we go, you might be surprised, or not, to know that there were some problems with the start of the new Women's Professional League. It was supposed to have started this weekend, but the refs went on strike over pay. So it did not start this weekend, Sid. It's just a really disappointing situation, this. I'm not even going to get into the details of who's right and who's wrong. I'm not passing judgment here. I am globally viewing this and saying, why couldn't we have just sorted this out? Does this have to happen again? But it has happened again. So it's just
the continuous mess of, if you like, essentially the fight for control of women's football, the inability to get deals done, which obviously has a broader underlying issue, which is the struggle between the Federation and La Liga as institutions. And you can see the fault lines very, very clearly in this, even though theoretically the Women's League is entirely a separate body with nothing to do with these two institutions, although of course the referees do depend on the Federation. And it's just, basically it's just a bit rubbish. And it's kind of depressing, and it feels like there have been lots of opportunities presented to, and I'm going to use a terrible phrase because it's, I don't like this phrase personally, presented to women's football. And the reason I say I don't like that phrase is, first of all, I don't like the idea that football isn't just football, but also women's football suggests it's all one thing. And if there's, you know, different clubs and different mentalities and in this case, of course, two different institutions, but it's just shambolic. And those opportunities simply haven't been taken.
Right, that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of TSFP. Like I said, sorry it's a bit later and a bit shorter than usual. Sydney's fault entirely. Blame him.
Absolutely my fault.
Don't blame Al or I.
I tell you what, though, I like to think that sound quality is brilliant today, given that I'm in a translator's booth.
Yeah, it's a little bit echoey, but you know.
Is it?
All right. Okay. At one point, I didn't even think we were going to do it today, the pod. So I'm just pleased we managed to get it.
We had one of those brilliant translators, by the way, who's very, very, very animated in his response, even when the player is absolutely deadpanning everything. So it makes the player sound really enthusiastic when actually they're sitting there just sort of looking at us thinking, I don't want to talk to this lot.
There we go. Enjoy the game tomorrow in Lisbon. I think I'll be watching Bayern against Barca.
I think I'm at the wrong place.
Looking forward to that one. Send us questions, by the way. There's loads of stuff we didn't talk about on the pod today, but if you want us to talk about something specifically, send us a question. We'll answer it on the Q&A pod tomorrow. As we said, bonus podcast coming out on Thursday, and TSFP Presents a new series is coming out this week as well. So loads of Spanish football content at patreon.com/TSFP. So come and join us, amigos. And if not, it's okay. It's fine. We'll be back here next week, every Monday, slight asterisk where possible, but almost certainly every Monday we will be here doing this pod for you guys. Adios.
Cheerio.